Thanks for joining us. You're listening to the Pursuit City Church podcast, where our mission is to lead people to know the love of Jesus. We pray that you'd be encouraged by this message. For more information, visit pursuitcc.com.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Wonderful time of worship. Amen. Don't matter what time you got here, the presence of the Lord was here. You got here at 8 this morning, the presence of the Lord was already here. I'm telling you, if you got here 10 minutes ago, the presence of the Lord was here. And that's all that matters. Amen. Even if I don't say another word, the fact that God is here is all we need. And I'm thankful for that. Y'all feel good this morning? Yeah. How many of y'all needed that this morning? Yeah. I needed that. Thank you for being here on a Sunday. I know you have a lot of options in this city. We have a lot of great churches in our city. I'm thankful and blessed that you've chosen to be with us. I look forward to what's coming these next several weeks. If you don't know yet, you'll be getting more and more information about it. We have an event coming up on Saturday. Everybody say Saturday. The Movement. The Movement. This is going to be a joint ministry event and opportunity for outreach and evangelism. Everything we're doing is going to be mobile. We're going to be feeding 250 people some jambalaya. Praise the Lord. I'm ready for that. And we're going to be clothing people, providing the street store for free. If you notice the street store out there, that Ashley's currently doing right now, we're going to put that in a trailer, go set up somewhere, pull out all the clothes, pull out the hygiene bags, and begin preaching, ministering, giving away food, giving away water, praying for people. And then we're going to pack up and go to another spot and do it again. Pack up, go to another spot and do it again. Amen. And so I would love to have your participation. We do need some help for this event. We need, a driver still. We need people to just be there to minister to people, people that want to pray for people. If you don't really want to do that, but you want to be involved, we need plenty of help with the street store, giving away the food. I ordered a portable powered wireless speaker with a microphone that straps to me. Y'all ain't ready. It's got a strap. And I'm going to be walking around with a big old microphone. Y'all ain't ready. Corpus, we here. Y'all ain't ready for that. I just got the notification 15 minutes ago. It's shipping. It's on the way. It'll be here tomorrow. So I'm going to test it out in my backyard. Órale! I want 2 minute cheese tacos. No, sorry. The taqueria is right behind my house, so maybe they can take my order, you know. Deliver it, please. Glad to be in church. I love church. Anyways, the Movement, join us. We're going to be moving all around this city, blessing people, praying for people, loving on people. Amen. That's what we're called to do. We're not called to just sit here and receive and do nothing with it. We're called to receive it and go and give it away. Praise the Lord. If you'd like to give this morning, you can do so by texting any dollar amount to 84321. You can also give on our website at pursuitcc.com. There are also envelopes in front of you, and you can give by cash or check. There are two giving boxes in the back room. We are thankful for the generosity in this house. We're able to bless other people. We're able to do things like this event coming up. We're able to buy the strap-on speaker. Praise the Lord. And you're going to be ready. It's like a backpack. It's awesome. And it's loud. So we appreciate all the generosity and blessings that you guys consistently do in this house. For those of you who don't follow them, you should go follow Stephen and Aaron DiMaggio in Kenya, Africa. Kufikia International is the name of their ministry. And they are constantly pouring into people in the jungle of Africa. It's crazy. Every now and then I get online and I see what Aaron's doing. And how he's like having to pull his vehicle out of the mud with a tree and a winch. And he's just awesome. I love them. And they're doing all this with Stephanie. Her back is needing surgery. and she's constantly in pain. They're doing all of this and suffering at the same time. And God is blessing their hand and using them to reach people in Africa. And we support them every single month and we stay in contact with them. They're amazing people. So just know that when you give here, it's going elsewhere too. It's reaching other lives. They're reaching young people and people in the boondocks, people in the jungle, people in the bush that you'll never reach, that you'll never see. They're reaching them because we're able to send them. Amen. So it is a blessing. If you'd like to follow along this morning, I highly recommend you do this. Text the word sermons, plural, just like you see it on the screen, to the number 94,000. Every scripture, every little bit of information that I have to share today will be in there. Please bear with me. My voice is struggling. I was sick all week. So if you see me having a coughing fit, praise the Lord. We'll get through it. I enjoyed the last series. If you weren't here for it, we talked about tearing down idols in our lives. And I feel like this is this new series is just a really good segue, a really good connector to what we just finished talking about, because our new series is called Image Bearers. We're going to talk about how the fact that we are image bearers. And one thing that God said over and over and over again in what we just learned for the past few weeks is that he does not want us to make any graven image and to not worship any other image. No image that is above the earth, on the earth, or below the earth is what he said, right? He is very concerned with images. He is very concerned with what we put before our eyes. He is very concerned with what we look at and what we behold and what we worship, because it is clear that we become what we behold. We become what we look at. We become what we gaze upon. One of the most ancient texts we have is Job. He said something so profound. He said, I have made a covenant with my eyes to look upon no profane thing. Job knew in ancient times, 6,000 years ago, that there are things on the earth that if you look at them too long, it can mess with you. And so God made it very clear that you need to be careful what kind of images you're setting up for yourself. You need to be careful what you're looking at. You need to be careful of what you see. We are image bearers. And what does this mean? Well, the only sad part about this series is I only have 2 weeks to get it all out. So look at your neighbor and say, hold on tight. What we're going to have to do is we're going to have to go to Genesis chapter 1. In case you didn't know this, the book of Genesis has everything you need to know about God in it. It's beautiful. It's powerful. And I'm a big believer in following the fundamentals of Bible study. One of the fundamentals of Bible study is the law of first mentions. You want to go where it was first mentioned in the Bible, first mentioned in the story, first mentioned in the history of God. And of course, Genesis 1, it marks the beginning of creation. We're talking about us in this series. Last series, we talked about God and we talked about idols and we talked about everything we needed to get rid of. This series, we're talking about us, who we are, our identity. Amen? And if you don't know who you are, you're in the right place because you're going to find out. Praise the Lord. So what I want to do, as usual, we're going to read this whole chapter. We're going to read Genesis 1. And I know we've all heard this a million times, but I want you to really try to look deeper and listen close. Amen? Let's do it. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Hope you're following so far. Verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind. And there was a tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heavens to give light to the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God sent them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind. I don't know if you know this, but God's a rancher. And everything that creeps on the earth, King Ranch originator, on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Don't start. You got me started. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And then just a couple verses in chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he has done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he rested from all his work, which God created and made. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. Lord, we ask that you be with us in this next couple of weeks as we dive into the truth of what you want to share with us. Lord, reveal to us who we are. Reveal to us your word in us, the truth about who we are. Speak to us clearly in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. So before I dive deep into what all this means, first, I need to explain something. We have a little bit of an issue when we read this. And when I say a little bit, it's really a big one. We speak English. That's our problem. And as Americans, we think our language is the only language that matters. But we're forgetting something very, very important. That this Bible was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And we don't know none of that stuff. Can I get an amen on that? Now, when I went to Bible college, I had to take Hebrew. I had to take Greek. I do not recommend. It goes over your head in a heartbeat. Those are difficult languages. Those are so difficult. They say English is a hard language. I guarantee you. You stick your head in some Greek for a little bit and you're going to get all confused because they don't just have letters, they have numbers and pictures. Greek, it's like symbolism. It's so weird and everything has like 5, 6, 7 meanings. You go read the word love in the Greek in the 1 Corinthians 13. You'll find there's 7 different words in that chapter for love. They're not all the same. So there is such an expansive language in this text that we have funneled down to English. And so when you read it on surface level, you think you understand it. But I want to challenge all of you to go deeper. All of you. And the great thing about our day and age and technology is that you can do this for free now. Back in the day, you had to invest in, I'm talking books like this. I got them in my office still. They're like this thick just to understand some words. Now you go to blueletterbible.org and it's all there. It's a website and it's like an entire, it's like going back to Bible college. Everything is there. It's amazing. blueletterbible.org. And you can learn all this. You can learn the Greek. You can learn the Hebrew. You can learn what words mean. And we're going to go through some of this today because every word matters. And you think you know what a word means and you don't. For instance, do we know what that word God means? We don't. It's a 3-letter word, yeah, in English. So there's a struggle there because as we read the Bible, we're looking for something to feed our soul, and it still will. I guarantee you, you read the Bible long enough, it will feed you, it will help you, it will grow you, it will mature you. Remember the study we looked at a few months back where it said that after you read the Bible 2-3 days, nothing really happens. But when you read it 4 days in a row, things start to change mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Okay? You have to be consistent. You have to be disciplined in it. You got to keep doing it. And even if you don't understand it, Spirit of God is faithful. Okay? Because there's more. This book is alive. But it wasn't written in English. Okay? It was not written in English. It was written in Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Absolutely. I love you, Carol. I'm glad you're back. Absolutely, it was. So, we just read the creation account. We just read everything, right? Now I want you to understand that every time you see the word God in what we just read, it is the word Elohim. Elohim is a very interesting word. Here's what this means. This is a plural word. It is in the ordinary sense, but specifically used in plural, especially to the supreme God. So we have this idea that God was creating everything and wasn't alone while he created this. If you go and you simply just look at the text, you will realize very quickly that the earth and everything in it, and us included, weren't his first creation. We were not his first creation, because there are other beings with him. And it showed us very clearly that there were other beings, there were angels, and he kept saying things like us and our. Man was not created yet, and yet he's saying, let us create man in our image. This is a very interesting thing. We were not his first creation. Earth was not his first creation. So I went down the rabbit hole. And I went pretty far. I came back, though. I'm here. So I started asking a lot of questions. I said, what about heaven? Because I get this question all the time. Hey, Matt, where's heaven? Where's hell? You know, and I've never really gone too deep to study that stuff. It's just like, well, you know, it's there. You don't want to go to hell, so don't go there. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. You'll get to heaven one day, wherever that might be. But I started asking the question. I was like, what about heaven? Because he's talking about heaven a lot in this chapter. So I looked it up. And I can't even pronounce the word. I kept joking with myself when I was reading it. It looks like Sam I Am. But it's Sam I Am, I think is how you say it. I just called it Sam I Am. I was like, come on, man. Why does it look like that? Sam I Am. Sam I Am. This word occurs 421 times in 395 verses in the Old Testament. This is the word for heaven. Okay? You know what it means? The sky. It means the sky. And I said, okay, well, is it skies general? Is this a general thing? No. I look it up and I go deeper and deeper. The literal sky. I'm like, okay. I'm getting a little weirded out. So I decide to go look up in the Greek. What does this word mean? Guess what it means in the Greek in the New Testament? The sky. When Jesus talked about heaven, this is what he said. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? And he was present. And then when he left, where did he go? Do you remember? The Bible says that he began to float away into the clouds, into the sky, and disappeared. And then he said that I am now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. That word is sky. It got me asking a lot of questions, because in the Greek, that word occurs 284 times in 264 verses. In the New Testament, the word for heaven is the sky. So then I went to Isaiah 66, because this is a famous scripture. Everybody knows this scripture. It says this, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me, and where is the place of my rest? This is an interesting imagery. It was always like this idea that God was just kind of playing around with words, that, you know, that heaven really wasn't, you know, right there, and the earth really wasn't at his feet. But I think it might be. I think it actually might be. I think it really is this idea that it's a lot closer to us than we think. When Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he wasn't playing around. It's here. It's all around us. We can't see it. I was looking up at the sky on the way here today. I was like, dang, where y'all at? I was just waiting. I was like, who am I going to see? And if you notice, the world is fascinated now with the sky. The world is fascinated now with the universe. And they can't see nothing. Because they don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. You can get the biggest telescope in the world and still not see the kingdom of heaven. And it's right in front of us. It's right there. It's not far away. It's a very interesting thing, especially when you look at the historical account in the Old Testament, where you had people talking to each other. One was in hell, one was in paradise, and they were talking to each other. And they were saying, hey, just give me a drink of water. And he's like, I can't. He said, well, at least go talk to my family and warn them not to come here. And then God moved. And then the Bible says enlarged hell and moved paradise to a different place. It almost seems as if everything's a lot closer than we realize. I did look a little bit at where hell was, just for fun. I was like, come on, I'm already here. And this word Sheol in the Hebrew always talks about the meaning of hell, and Jesus used hell in the same context. And this word Sheol means the center of the earth. It's almost like, yo, heaven is right there and hell is right there. And it's literal. He wasn't playing with some sort of figurative language, because there's a lot of that in the Bible. There's a lot of figurative language. This was literal stuff, which messes with me a little bit. Because, you know, growing up, you always think God is really far away, somewhere out there in the universe. Look how big we've discovered the universe is. Millions and billions of galaxies. We can't even count no more. Can't count the stars anymore. And then there's this other weird word. Y'all with me so far? Okay. The word let. It seems like such a nonsensical thing to go look up the word let, but I looked it up. You know what this word means? Permission to be revealed. What is the first thing he gave permission to? Light. That means it was already there. Because he gave permission for it to be revealed. He didn't say, I just created light. No, he said, I created fish, I created trees, I created the earth, I created the waters. But he said, let there be light. In other words, it's time to shine. It was already there. So I started going down that rabbit hole. And it kind of brought me back to a series that we did a while back called Luminous. Is it Luminous? I can't remember. Illuminate, something like that. I don't know. It was something like that. Something about light. Oh, spectrums. That's what it was called. So sorry, my brain is, you know. So I went back and looked at some of that stuff, and I was like, oh, yeah. What does light do? Does anybody remember what light does? Light is a little more violent than what we think. Light judges the darkness. Remember, darkness has no ontology. Darkness has no beginning. Darkness is not measurable. Darkness is simply the absence of light. Because light comes to judge the darkness. And the brighter something gets, the less the darkness matters. So when he said, let there be light, he was judging the darkness. So this is an interesting thing for us. Because God called us the light of the world. But what we see is so interesting. The world lost its light. The world lost its light when Adam and Eve fell into sin. And we saw what happened. If we went to read all this, it's just a lot to read. But the Bible says that God planted a garden, which is a whole nother thing. It's awesome. He planted his own garden. He went and said, I want this bush and that tree, and I like that flower. And then he put Adam and Eve in it, and they lost it. They lost that light. They lost who they were. They didn't understand who they were. The enemy came to deceive, and he was successful. And they lost their identity in that moment. And because they lost their identity in that moment, they lost their light. And the world was struggling to find its light again. The earth was struggling to understand itself again. Because the order got messed up. Sin came in and disrupted everything. God had to change the actual structure of the earth because of sin. The way the earth looks today is not how it looked when he created it. What did he have to do? First thing he did is he had to judge the darkness that came from Adam and Eve. So he said, guess what, Eve? Now you're going to have labor in your childbearing. And all the women said, And then he told Adam, now you're going to have the sweat of your brow. Every time you have to go find something to eat, you're going to have the sweat of your brow. And all the men said, yeah, right guard. And then he looked at the earth and he said, now you're going to have thorns and thistles. He judged the earth too because of what Adam and Eve did. He had to judge the earth itself. The earth received the same curse Adam and Eve did. The earth had to be judged. The earth had to be modified. The earth had to be changed. Then fast forward, you see Noah. And he had to be the last family to be pulled out of the land while they floated on this boat, while God judged the earth again and changed the entire topological structure of the earth, rivers and streams and rain all of a sudden that was never there before. The earth was covered in a flood. Now everything that once was is now lost. And the earth is changed. The earth is different. There's all sorts of theories. I've been reading the theory since I was a child. Pangea, was it not? Was it there? It's possible. They all fit. It's like a puzzle. God was playing jigsaw. It's very possible that the earth all at once was a landmass all together at one point in time. And then when the heavens flooded from above and underneath from the earth, it broke apart. And that's what caused such structure, such chaos, such damage. We see the canyons like the Grand Canyon and the canyons in Utah and all these places all over the world that are just, they're just different. That's not how it used to be. That's not what God created. Can you imagine how much more beautiful it would have been? We look at it now, we're like, wow, look what God did. Can only imagine the infancy, the original state. But God had to judge the earth. And so the earth, the Bible even says, Jesus even said in Matthew 24, that the earth is groaning. The earth is groaning. Why would the earth be groaning for anything? Because they know. Thank you, Carol. It's for light. The earth knows it needs the light. It's missing something it once had. And Jesus promised there will be famines and earthquakes
all over the world. The earth will continue to follow this pattern of chaos and destruction until something gives. That's why he sent Jesus. His one and only, Carol. Amen. The one and only Son. It's why he sent Jesus. He was the solution. I know we all know the story and we understand that Jesus came to set us free and to get us to heaven and to pay our debt, but he also came to redeem the earth, but not in the way you think. She said, nah. I got a question. What was Jesus? It's a very obscure question. Oh, thank you, sir. You're reading your notes. Jesus was a new deposit of light back into the earth. If you don't believe me, John 1, let's go. Whoa. I love how this starts, because it starts just like Genesis starts. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. So we see now what Genesis 1 was alluding to when it says, let us make man in our image, right? Elohim, plural. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all together, three in one, all present at the same time. And John 1 tells us that the world was actually made through who? Jesus. The world was made through the Word. Verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. Where did the life from earth come from? Jesus. And the life was the light of men. Where did the light come from? Jesus. When he said, let there be light, all Jesus did was reveal himself. He said, here I am, Sam I am. Yeah. I love this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Who's the light for? It's for us. It's for us. And the light shines in the darkness. Where's light supposed to go? To go find more light? No. The light shines in the darkness. The light goes to judge the dark. The light goes to find the dark and expel it. And the darkness did not comprehend it. That word means it could not overcome it. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Where does every human, regardless of belief, where do they get their light? Jesus Christ. They think they just got a good personality. No, man, you just got a light that you don't even know where you got it from, but it didn't come from you. It didn't come from your mama. It came from Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not even know him. Okay, I gotta keep going. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
I'm trying here. Hopefully this makes sense. Light equals sonship. We think of this idea of being a son and daughter of God as, you know, I'm going to heaven. We are image bearers. We have become sons and daughters. We've been given that right because we have received him. And when we received him, we received a light. And that light should not be put away and hidden and covered. That light is meant to judge the dark. That light is meant to go and find the darkness and shine on it. Hear me. The sons of God judge the earth because the sons of God carry the light. We don't know who we are. We're just told, just don't be too aggressive when you talk about Jesus. Just, you know, just be calm. I had someone ask me, Matt, are you telling me that if I don't believe in Jesus, I'm not going to heaven? I said, absolutely. Next question. But you know, I believe in God. Yeah, so did a lot of the Jewish people that crucified Jesus. Guess who else believes in God? Demons. The Bible says that even the demons tremble and believe. They know who he is, but they don't worship Jesus. But they remember Elohim. They remember the day Jesus said, here I am. Too much? The sons judge the earth because the sons are supposed to carry the light. We're supposed to carry the light. When we get saved, it's not so you could have your chair there every Sunday and just be satisfied with that. I'll say this till my dying breath. We were not called to grow up, pay bills, and die. We were called to change the world. We were called to go and judge the darkness. And when I say judge, I don't mean hate. I mean illuminate. Because light equals love. Light equals passion. Light equals joy. Light equals peace. Light equals Jesus Christ crucified. And when you know who you are, what is there to stop you? Listen, thank you, Carol. Nothing can stop us. Listen to this. When Jesus was crucified, what happened? Y'all remember? I talk about it a lot. What happened? The earth responded. When Christ crucified, gave up his last breath, the Bible said, as soon as he said it was finished, earthquake, lightning storm. Dead bodies rising out of the graves walked the streets of Jerusalem. The Temple Mount shook. The veil was torn. The earth responded to its creator. The earth responded to the light bearer. The earth was like, no, they're taking more light away from us. And the earth responded to the Son of God. When Jesus walked the earth, he calmed wind, waves, water. He healed the blind. He even looked up one time and said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And then the Bible says, and then they heard lightning. The earth, the atmosphere, and everything in it responded to the Son of God. The Bible calls Jesus the light of the world. And then Jesus turned around, looked at his disciples and said, you are the light of the world. The earth is in the current state it's in because it simply has responded to the current state of the sons of God. We're all sons and daughters, Carol.
You ever wonder why the earth is so messed up? Because the sons of God have been silent. We have been hiding our light. We have been too ashamed to shine. We have been too ashamed to proclaim the truth. We've been letting the world just be who they are because we don't want to offend them. Jesus came. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Go read it. Mark, yeah, read your Bibles. He said, I came to set father against son, mother against daughter. The enemies that you have will be that of your own household.
That sounds so much fun, doesn't it?
But this is the truth. We want to keep the peace. We don't want to say anything because we don't want to push them away or offend them. But I'm telling you right now, the earth is groaning for truth. The earth is groaning for light. And you can't be that light if you're too scared to shine.
The earth has simply responded to the condition of the sons of God. It is in chaos because we are. It is in chaos because the state of the church is in chaos. I don't know if you have been able to tell lately, but there are some really insecure people leading churches all over the world. And I mean really insecure.
Thank you.
I'm going to move on because I'm going to say something. I don't want to do that.
No, thank you.
I don't need that soundbite. Maturity. What is spiritual maturity? I'm going somewhere. I promise. Keep, stay with me. I'm almost there. I can see the antsiness, the restlessness. Maturity. Maturity is transformation in us and things around us. Maturity is not consistently changing into nothing. Here's what we've unfortunately been told, and I grew up in the same thing. The more I know, the mature I am. The more mature I am. And so I have a very deep history with knowledge of the Bible. I have a very deep history with knowledge of the scripture. And so the value systems I came from was the more you know, you know, the more information you have, you know, that's the more mature spiritually you are. When the whole time I was just looking for a way to defy God with his own information. Information does not equal maturity. Because what happens if you get so caught up with information and never any sort of transformation, then you constantly and consistently change into nothing. And when you consistently change into nothing, you're not growing, you're not maturing. You're not going anywhere. You're just getting all this information. You can sit in church for 20 years and do absolutely nothing with it. I've seen it all my life. What is maturity? What is maturity look like? 2 Corinthians 3:12 says this, since the new way gives us such confidence, we can be very bold. We are not like Moses who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory.
Whoa.
We're not like Moses. We're not trying to hide our light.
Even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. Yes, even today when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. Notice it says see and reflect. It means you see it, but you also reflect it out. It also bounces back to those around you. When you experience Jesus, it changes you in a way that you don't just go, wow, that's cool. You go, look how cool. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. We are image bearers. We are called to look like Jesus. We are called to reflect His light. We are called not to point to ourselves and our opinions and our ideas and our style and our preferences. We are called to reflect the glory of the Lord. Just because another church does it differently doesn't make them wrong. Just makes them different. You do you, boo-boo. If you don't like the music, praise the Lord. Can I tell you? Toby laughed. I'm talking about you, Toby. True conversion equals transformation. If you don't feel like your life has changed, then maybe you never changed. Maybe you never really got converted. I'm happy, so happy when I read the emails of people when they say, I dedicated my life to Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm excited when I read that, a salvation. But what makes me more happy is when people go live it out. That it wasn't just an event or a decision or a thought that says, okay, I believe. Great. Now go do. Go do. Go reflect the light of the world. Be that shining city on a hill. Be the image bearers. Be the light bearers. True conversion equals transformation. Now, I did not have time to go digging into this rabbit hole. But there's a lot of weird studies out there. And I'm not going to say this is true or not. Okay? Just going to throw it out there. Have fun with it. You're welcome. There's a lot of weird studies out there that people with spiritual experiences physically change on a molecular level. Go look it up. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of weird. Kind of go, what? The brain anatomy changes. If that's even the right word for it. Brain structure, brain molding, brain waves, I don't know. Something happens to the mind physically. Something happens to the body physically. When someone is converted truly and transforms into the image of Christ, the body responds. If the earth responds, don't you think our body would respond? It's all created by Him. Can we continue going? Worship team, come up. I have one more scripture to dive into here. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. I find this so interesting that this happened at night. And he said, "We all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth." He just cuts him off. He just totally cuts him off. He just says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's stop right there. Nicodemus believed in who he was talking to. And Jesus had to cut him off. But unless you are born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. You see, it's great to believe. It's great to be in the house. It's great to acknowledge the miracles. It's great to acknowledge the signs and wonders. It's great to know that that's true. But unless you are changed, unless you are transformed, unless you have been born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. He says, what do you mean? How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Obviously, Nicodemus wasn't so smart. Verse 5. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows where it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? What he was saying was, man, everything you've read, it's all been there the whole time. You just can't see it. There's a veil. There's a veil. You can't, when you're reading Moses, you don't understand. When you read about the light, you really didn't comprehend it. When you read about Elohim, you really didn't understand it was me. You don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. He came down from the sky. He was right there, just waiting. That word there is sky. That dude just been sitting there, just waiting. Boop. There he goes. Verse 14, and Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants. The light came into the world to judge the world, and people wanted more darkness. They hated the light. They feared the light. They didn't want the light because the light shines on their sins. You see, if you're afraid to confess your sin, then you're afraid for the light to shine in you. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We just read it. My encouragement to you this morning is to be free. Be free from the fear of being exposed, when that's exactly why Christ came. He came to expose the darkness, even the darkness within us, so that we can be free from it, so that we can move forward with life, so that we can then reflect his glory. You were made in the image of Jesus. Hear me. Imagine if we know that the earth has responded the way it's responded because of who we are and who we have not been. Imagine if we become who we're called to be. Imagine what will happen if everywhere you go knowing that you carry the very image of God. Let me take it a step further. When he said he made man in his image, he wasn't talking about just the form or function. He was talking about this, our face. This was a very intimate thing. I've mentioned this before, long ago, when the Bible talks about Jeremiah, when he said, Jeremiah, before you were born, I knew you. Remember that scripture? Before you were born, before you were even in your mother's womb, before you were conceived, before your parents were born, Jeremiah, I knew you. I saw you, right? He said, I called you and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Remember we talked about this? I don't know if you, some of you weren't here for that. That word knew, when he said, I knew you, it was this intimate idea that he saw him face to face. When you were born, you carried the face of God with you. I heard someone say this a couple days ago. It messed with me a little bit. He said, you ever wonder why babies coming out of the womb screaming their heads off? Because they just got separated from God. They saw a face, and they're going to live their entire life trying to get back to that face. We carry his face. All of us look like him. All of us bear his image. So when the earth looks at us, they see him. It's a weird thing. But when an animal is looking at you, it's afraid. Why? Because they see the Creator all over again. The earth is responding. The question is, will you respond? Let's stand. Oh Lord, I pray that we don't just merely talk about you, enjoy you, read about you, come and sit and learn about you, but we live for you. We move on your behalf. I pray that we desire to reflect your light. I pray that we desire to demonstrate your love and your light to the world. I pray that we begin to know who we are, that we are not just simply humans experiencing some sort of spiritual thing, but we are the very image of you. We are the very image of God the Father walking on the earth. And we carry something that is not of this world. We carry the very light that was within you. You deposited within us. I pray you show us how to reflect your glory into every dark place. I pray for every attempt of the enemy that has tried to confuse you, try to distract you, to be torn down right now in Jesus' name. I pray that you know that you are the light. You are the light. You carry the glory of the Lord. You carry the very image of God. You carry the very face of the Father.
Jesus, we magnify you. You are high and lifted up. And you're much closer than we realize. You're within our reach. You're within our grasp. You're here at all times. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for the light.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you would like to support our ministry, you can easily do so by visiting our website, pursuitcc.com. Also, follow us on all social media outlets by using @PursuitCC. Thank you, and God bless.